what those boys are up to.
Introducing WWF Wrestling Buddies. Wrestling Buddies from Tonka. Fonkum. Wrestling Buddies are looking for action.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Nothing, Dad.
Smoke it!
Who do you think you are?
Dad, Hulk Hogan!
Wrestling buddies want to be your buddy.
Henry, what's going on up there?
Nothing, dear.
WWF Wrestling Buddies, new from Tonka. He sold separately.
Welcome to Wrestling Buddies, episode one. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm Paul from the Nitro Cast, and joining me is
Mike from the Cast of the Champions.
Yes,
the Dusty nominated Cast of Champions. Oh. I caught that.
Yeah, you're nominated, but like I said, I know a few people. That know a few people on the committee there.
Voting committee.
Yeah, that's right. And this is episode one of Wrestling Buddies.
Thank you, Jane.
Basically what we're going to be doing here is we've decided that we're just going to go through some of the worst of wrestling. The show isn't going to devolve into complete nonsense like the WrestleCrap podcast did. You ever listen to that?
And I have not.
Oh, my God. No. It's unbelievably awesome. but actually, we're probably going to stick to more wrestling than them. And speaking of which, today, what we're going to be talking about is Capital Combat 1990.
Don't forget that you got to put the whole name in there. Capital Combat, Return of RoboCop.
The Return of RoboCop.
Yes. And we got a little background into this whole thing. The reason we picked this is because just the title of it made it sound so fucking ridiculous that we automatically, I went back and I watched it periodically just to check out different kinds of matches. Never watched it all the way through. And we just thought, you know, just because RoboCop in it, it's going to be a shit pay-per-view. And what did you say when you actually looked it up on Wikipedia yesterday?
Yeah, I looked at the card yesterday and I went, oh my God, this show is going to be awesome. This is going to be a great show. There's such good talent on the show. Oh my God, this is going to be great. We're totally wrong about this. This is going to be a great show.
Then we watched it.
Well, yeah.
And we understood why we picked it for our first show.
Yeah. Everything that you've heard about this show is true.
Mm. And just a little background in this show first. We're coming to you live
from the DC Armory.
Yes.
Which holds 7,500. And I'm pretty sure there was not 7,500 there.
No.
But imagine that in this day and age that a pay-per-view would come from
a National Guard armory.
From a fucking armory. You know, it was, and there was a big giant hole of people. Like
the camera view. Yes. Oh my God.
So you're looking at this big giant vast of openness, which just set the tone for this entire show. It's absolutely beautiful. And we get to intro by a sweaty Tony Schiavone. Mm-hmm. With a nice intro. And then it's Armed Forces Day as well. So
kind of coincided together. Worked out.
Yeah, so apparently WCW hates Armed Forces. But we did get a classy tribute. Mm-hmm. And then we go to our announcers, good old JR Jim Ross.
Pre-Bell's Palsy. I remember that. Pre-Bell's Palsy.
Yeah, he's talking on both sides of his mouth here. Mm-hmm. Along with Bob Caudle, who I absolutely think is fantastic. You did not.
No.
And our opening contest is Kevin Sullivan, Cactus Jack, and Bam Bam Bigelow with Sir Oliver Humperdinck. Now that hold on, let's get to your points. And the Road Warriors, and along with Norman the Lunatic. Now that when you think about this, now that you take away Norman, that sounds like a great match, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it could be a 3-on-2 handicap match and be a fantastic match.
Yep. So I don't sound like a complete idiot going, oh my God, this is gonna be a great show. Look at all these great talents. The Road Warriors come down riding bitch on motorcycles.
Yes, they weren't even riding it. They were riding bitch.
Yeah, they were like riding on the pegs.
The exact opposite way you can look tough on a motorcycle. They did it.
You have the toughest tag team ever.
Ever.
And they're riding on pegs.
On pegs, on a motorcycle. I didn't even know motorcycles had pegs.
Oh, neither did I.
They must have made it just for the Road Warriors. They fall off and poke themselves in the head with their little shoulder pad spikes. I don't know.
They weren't even wearing the shoulder pads.
Oh, they weren't, were they?
No. So they're coming down. They're giving these guys back rubs as they're coming down on bikes. And then from the state hospital comes Norman. And then he throws his lunch into the crowd.
Yeah.
Which
they said was a shirt. But yeah, he managed to throw a lot of shirts. So I'm thinking it was a sandwich here, a banana there maybe.
He brought it in a brown paper bag, and it was wrapped up in plastic wrap. Guess what? That's not a shirt. That's a fucking sandwich. Mm. So, yeah, suck it, Bob Keitel.
And let's get into who Norman is. Norman would later become famous, and I use the word famous loosely for Norman, as a Bastion Booger.
Yeah, Bastion Booger at Friar Ferguson.
And he looked like, and Norman to me looked like a fat Eugene, or a, you know, the opposite, you know, because he was there first before Eugene was.
Yeah. But so. I gotta say though, he was honestly a fairly good worker.
Probably
though.
The best in the match.
He was one of the better ones. Oh, we get a Cactus Jack for Mayor sign. And speaking of Cactus Jack, Mick was skinny.
Yeah. And green.
He was green as baby shit. we get to see an agile animal. He was just doing all kinds of leapfrogs. He looked fantastic. Because him and Cactus started out the match. We get a huge whiff by Animal on a kick to the corner, which Cactus sold death by.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part about it was you could see how far he was missing by. Like, he starts his kick about a good 8 feet before he gets to him.
And never connects.
Yeah, but they were super smart to cut to a different camera angle, and then Cactus sells death. So I'm thinking, all right, cool, this is definitely working. These guys know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah, right. Yep. anyway, speaking of those, what he's doing, Norman, he absolutely knew what he was doing.
Yeah, but the thing I noticed in this match, we would point out we were watching it, Norman's size meant nothing. Because they billed him during the match, what, 390 pounds?
Yeah.
384 or something like that?
Yeah,
he got body slammed by little tiny,
Kevin Sullivan.
No muscle Kevin Sullivan. Like, it was nothing. And pardon me if I'm wrong, but he's only about 60 pounds away from where Andre was when they made that big deal when Hogan slammed Andre. And here comes, come on. I mean, you have 60 pounds... little bit less of muscle. He picked up with ease.
Well, in defense of that, Andre, for the most part, got slammed in every match he was ever in before he came to WWF. So, yeah. Mick Foley almost died in this match. Hawk threw him like four rows back and then tossed.
Got on the concrete.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't even concrete. It was a hardwood floor. Mm. Wasn't it? Yeah. It was wood floor.
I couldn't tell.
It was.
It was it was grainy and old. 24 years old.
You know. It looked fantastic on the network. But yeah, again, this is an armory floor. Yep. So, you know. And then Hawk, not to be outdone, throws some stairs at him. But not just any stairs. Fucking wooden stairs.
Yeah.
Who lives like this? God damn it.
He didn't even attempt to protect him. He just, you're...
Yeah, you know, at least when Cena throws steps at you.
You have your up, you got your hands up.
Yeah.
It was at his back. He was hanging over the railing.
Yep. Yeah, a coked up Hawk throwing steps at someone. Yeah, WCW rules. Anyway, Hawk gets the win after a top rope clothesline ends it. Road Warriors Norman win.
A weak end to that one.
Yeah, but wasn't that like kind of their finisher though back then?
It was, but you know, the whole point of their finisher is Animal gets them up on his shoulders and he connects that same clothesline he won the match with, but at least they're falling 6 feet.
No,
this was just a clothesline. And
oh, because a coked up animal is going to throw you and try and break your fucking neck. But honestly, this would be one of the better finishes of the night.
Oh, yeah.
This show was riddled with more worse finishes than Battleground. This was fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. Next match.
Oh, yeah, this is where it gets good.
Go ahead, sir.
Johnny Ace. You know, you remember Johnny Ace? Hey, John, see, I can't even do this. Can you do this?
What, a big Johnny impression?
Big Johnny impression.
My name is John Laurinaitis.
Yep.
Shit.
Johnny
head
Ace.
Of talent relations.
And you're general manager of both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Okay. People power. Yeah. Fucking love that.
And by the way, he was super facing in this, too. He came out slapping hands, almost yabbing like Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he was
super facing.
He was slapping babies and kissing hands.
But the thing that got me about this match is his opponent was Mean Mark, who everybody would later on know. Not even a year later.
This was before he
90,
was in the...
He came in 91, right?
This was before he was in the Skyscrapers, right?
I think so, right before.
Yeah.
Yep, so about a year later.
Yeah, so he's in Skycraper for a bit, so.
So Mean Mark, a.k.a. later on is the Undertaker, comes out and...
With his manager, Theodore R. Long.
Late.
Oh, yeah, Teddy was late.
Yeah, almost, Mean Mark was almost in the ring when Teddy decides to run out there.
Yeah, even Teddy didn't want to be a part of this fucking show.
Teddy had a big night in this show, though.
Yeah. Big Johnny, though, he is your front runner for Mullet of the Night. It what really struck me as awesome about Mean Mark, this is how you know this guy is awesome. His hometown... He's from Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the fuck that means. So what? So is he a Superman villain? Is that what they're trying to get over? Because, yeah, he wasn't acting like one here.
Nope.
You got to see him in short tights.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No shirt.
No tattoos?
No tattoos. At that all. Was the most awe-inspiring thing. But, you know, you could still tell that it was that it was Little Taker.
Yep, Little Taker there.
Yep.
And don't forget Teddy Long's outfit, dressed up like a middle-aged MC Hammer.
Oh, yes, he had nice MC Hammer pants. He looked like he was ready to park my car. He looked like a valet. He was fantastic. Let's see. Match. Started with we get a plancha by Johnny Ace.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's followed up by a savat kick by Undertaker. Now that back in the 80s and 90s, when Jim Ross didn't know like what a kick was and he didn't want to say a karate kick, he would call it a savat kick.
Nice, right? Yep.
Now then, I got to tell you a little disclosure. I took martial arts for a few years when I was a kid. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was eventually a brown belt. But I never learned the savat kick.
Savat kick.
Yeah, I never learned that.
Who used to do the savat kick? Wasn't one of the head trickers in WWF?
Fucking everybody did.
Yeah, but they actually called it a savat kick. I think it was Haku used to do it or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Gorilla Monsoon used to say that the Rockers used to do it all the time. Double team savat kick. Now then, these guys are both beginning of their careers. Jim Ross tells us that Taker's only been in the game 2 years. Johnny Ace, three, right? But he had easily the line of the night. Yes. He said that his best years
are ahead of him. Yes. That stuck out to both of us.
Absolutely. Yep. Prophetic words. And then he follows that up by, I'm pretty sure he said Robocock.
That's right.
So, yeah. So whatever he said beforehand, it just got negated by a Robocock. Mm-hmm. So Taker told it bumps like a maniac, which is completely weird. Because you would never see him bump again.
The thing that stood out to me in this match was because just watching all the Undertaker matches and going back and watching this after all that, I found it surprising, even though it was beforehand, that there was no Undertaker mannerisms in this. Like, he didn't have the slow sit-ups. You know, obviously we know why, because this wasn't his gimmick at the time. But to me, it just kind of stuck out. I was like, holy shit, this is
It's that guy, but it's not that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. It was almost like watching him in his American Badass days.
Yep.
But skinnier and with more back knee.
Mm-hmm.
WCW, no wellness policy.
At all.
your finish comes with the heart punch, which easily is a move that needs to come back.
Oh, yeah.
And then Taker heads up top, and then he walks the rope without holding the guy's hand.
Yep.
No hand holding.
So showing he can do that.
Yeah, he just walks them fucking ropes, drops the elbow. Gets to 1-2-3, but more importantly than that,
the slam-o-meter makes an appearance.
He got an 8.2
on the slam-o-meter.
He got an 8.2 on the slam-o-meter.
Did they even show that slam-o-meter the rest of the night? I don't remember.
Nope, that was it.
That was the only time they showed the slam-o-meter. They mentioned something before the match started, and they made it sound like it was going to make an appearance.
Oh, yeah, Bob Cottle, he was all about, well, JR, we're going to be seeing the debut of the slam-o-meter tonight. And yeah, we definitely got to see the debut of it. I don't remember ever seeing it again on any show further, but that was actually pretty fantastic. So you got the slam-o-meter, and then like they showed like a decibel reading, that type of thing, where you got different colors, and then there's lines with numbers, and it went up to 8.2. So
huge elbow drop.
It wasn't there like a sound effect too, like when
there was a sound effect.
Yeah, like when he hit the elbow, they showed the replay, and then here comes the slam-o-meter with a big kapunk. And then there might have been a squish when he hit the elbow. But I'm not sure. After that, we go to the back with Gordon Solie.
Trying to find the RoboCop.
Yes.
Yes.
He heads back to Sting's locker room. And there's security there. And then Gordon with this terrific backstory about how Sting has been decimated at the hands of the Four Horsemen. Had his Achilles tendon almost ripped clean off of whatever.
He was very, very into it.
Oh, he was.
Made me want to cry. It was so.
Oh, I was wondering. I was wondering how many glasses of whiskey Gordon had before he came out for this.
And don't forget about him talking about the little stingers.
Oh,
he almost came off perverted in a way. The way he was saying the little stingers.
Sting is going to be doing this for the little stingers. That's what I need to work on. I need to work on my Gordon Solie because I can feel that it's almost there. That if I just work at it, it can get there. But yeah. He's doing it for the little stingers.
Little stingers. I was awe-inspired.
That was awe-inspiring, but that wasn't even like the best promo of the night. Not even close. Because next we get the Rock and Roll Express. One of the best tag teams of all time.
Still trying to figure out who he's looking at.
Yeah, Robert Gibson. He got one eye looking this way, one eye looking the other. So he cuts his little promo. And then then Ricky Morton gets on the mic. So, you know, so he's gotten his impassioned baby face promo. Oh, my God. And Gibson is
just sitting there making little hand signs. It was the most ridiculous thing you ever seen.
He's on the other side of him. And he is transposing everything that Morton is saying into sign language.
Yes. If only this was on video, we could do it. Oh, that would be an awesome video to make, just to mock that video. My God, it would be fantastic.
You wouldn't have to mock it.
Oh, my God.
Because he is mocking it himself. And this is like a good 3-minute promo. And 2.5 minutes of it is Robert Gibson looking two ways at the same time and making hand signs.
Yes, in the weirdest possible way imaginable.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous and wonderful. And this pay-per-view is just shitting the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Next match.
So at this point, when Paul originally thought, this doesn't look too bad on paper. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because I got my notes right here. And as you can see, they're pretty detailed to start, and then they just start tailing off.
Yeah, you stopped. I kept going.
Ah.
I kept going because I have the memory of a goldfish. So. Next match.
Oh, God.
Wildfire Tommy Rich and Captain Mike Rotundo versus the Samoan SWAT team.
Come at Captain Mike Rotundo. Not captain of the varsity club.
No.
Captain of the SS. This is the worst freaking.
Captain of the SS Minnow.
Yep.
Yeah, this is how awesome WCW was back then. Mike Rotundo, he was in the Varsity Club, which was one of the most awesome heel stables ever. You had him, you had the Steiners, you had Kevin Sullivan. After they broke up, you know, Mike Rotundo said, you know, he's the captain of Varsity Club. So they wanted to keep that gimmick. They wanted to keep the name Captain Mike Rotundo. Okay, that's fantastic. But instead of, you know, making him a captain of, you know, say, a wrestling team or a football team, mm-hmm. They made him captain of a boat.
Of a boat that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Because you know what I think of when I think of wrestling? I think of boats.
Yeah.
I think of wrestling wide match. Open waters.
Yep. And false count anywhere matches on the SS Minnow or the Love Boat.
Yep. I think of schooners. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And not to be outdone, but he also had his tag team partner, former NWA champion Wildfire Tommy Rich.
Yeah. For favors.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's right. He'll do a favor for a title run.
Yep. Allegedly. Even if it was less than a week.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. I'm telling you, that shit is totally true. I don't care what anyone says. Now that we start this match off with 5 minutes of stalling by the SST, which was almost necessary because once this match started...
You wish you would have gone back to that.
No, I asked the question, okay, who's the heels and who's the faces here? Because you couldn't really tell. You know, Rotundo, he's worked heel throughout his entire career. Samoans, you're pretty sure that they're heels. So we got 5 minutes of stalling by the SST. You know, they're trying to do... They play to the crowd a little bit. They try to do their little Samoan ritual there at mm-hmm. the beginning, which kept getting interrupted, and they would get pissed. So that almost worked.
Yeah. Kind of gives an idea of who the heels are supposed to be. But
yeah, it got over the fact of, okay, hold on, I guess we're supposed to boo these guys because they're trying to honor their heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fucking garbage.
As anyone knows, the Samoan SWAT team consists of a very, very skinny Rikishi.
Yeah, he looked fantastic.
Yeah, good shape. I guess later on is when he started hitting the Twinkies and the ho-hos.
Oh, yeah. He was hitting some ho-hos. Mm-hmm. Hitting them ho-hos. We're also told that before this match starts, or it might have been in the opening minutes, that El Gigante has been signed to a contract.
Oh, very, very.
Oh, boy. Foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we'll get to see him.
I wish I could take that one.
Tommy Rich is sweaty. That's about it. Rikishi hit the Samoan Savage accidentally. And then after that, it was the best spot of the entire night. They hug afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
They hug, and the crowd on cue goes, "Oh." It was so good. It was like the lone highlight of this match.
Yeah, these big two tough Samoans, and they just hug it out.
They hug it out. It was a really good moment and smart.
They may hug it out cool before.
Fucking right. Yeah, that was fantastic. That just shows you right there that someone like Rikishi, he got it. He understood. And they would be in WWF not too long after this.
Right.
So, whenever WrestleMania 9, is that the one? Where was fucking outside?
Yeah, they're outside Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That was a year later, right?
Yeah, speaking of foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
That may be episode 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we're foreshadowing just like fucking Jim Ross does with El Gigante. Nerve hold. Tell us all you need to know about this match.
Rest hold city. That's why I got that big day. Rest hold city to best describe this match. And Mike Rotunda is the king of rest holds.
He is the king of rest holds, but in this match, he was sitting in rest holds for probably about a good 7 minutes. And the best part about that was you guys know how wrestling works. Someone's, trapped in a rest hold, their tag team partner tries to drum up support for him. They're stomping yeah. They're stomping on the apron, the they're crowd. Clapping.
Oh.
Tommy Rich tries this.
All match long. The crowd was non-existent for this. Like, they all got up, went to the bathroom.
Zero support. I've never heard anything like this in my entire life. This is seriously what happened in the match. Now that you have Rotunda, he's in a rest hold. Here's Tommy Rich on the apron.
Stop, 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 stop.
Yeah, did you hear anyone clapping along with us?
Nope.
Because no one was clapping along with Tommy Rich either. Christ. Oh, man. He was the big Don, though, so there's bonus points for that. But that was easily the greatest thing I've ever seen.
The thing about this match, what, 20 minutes? 20 minutes of rest holds.
Hold on, we haven't got to that part yet.
Oh.
There's an albino with a mullet in the crowd.
Oh, that's right.
Which was the best part of the entire match.
We almost had to back forward. We had to rewind it just to see it.
Yeah, I had to hop up and point him out. wasn't I going to tell an albino story?
Go ahead.
I was. I said I was going to. Okay. This is pretty fantastic. At my place of work, this was a few years ago, and this one nice lady that I worked with, she was talking to a few of us, and she was all excited that she had a new boyfriend, and she wanted to show pictures. I had already seen pictures on Facebook, but, one of my coworkers had not. So, he asked me, hey, have you seen pictures? And I just told him, well, I find it best to stay out of others' affairs, because I already knew. So anyway, she shows him pictures of her and her boyfriend. How nice. And she's all happy and she's proud. She's found this great guy. And a few minutes later, he says, oh, that's nice. You guys look great together. He pulls me aside a few minutes later. Goes, dude, why didn't you fucking tell me that she's dating a goddamn albino? She's dating fucking Milky from Me, Myself, and Irene. Oh, I was dying. It was easily the funniest fucking thing in the whole world just to see his expression. Because you know what? When someone says they're going to show you a picture of someone, you're not expecting to see fucking Milky.
Yeah.
Oh, it was hilarious. Fucking red eyes and everything. It was great. That was the best part of this entire match. It was me reliving that story. Way too much ref stooging. I don't even know who won. Did I even write down who won?
Yeah, Simone SWAT team won with a weak axe handle to the back of the head.
Oh, yeah, there's ref stooging. Now then, the bigger question is, whose fucking idea was it to give these two teams 17 goddamn minutes?
Yep.
Good Christ. A 17-minute match, 12 of which was rest holds. Oh, it is easily one of the boringest matches I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah. This is around here where I start losing interest.
You want to know what would have been 100 times better? Seeing their fucking kids wrestle. That's what I wanted. Give me Rotunda's kids versus Rikishi's kids. Good Christ. How could someone with so little charisma have two kids with such great charisma? And then the opposite is with the others.
24 years later.
Yeah.
Yep, right there. And
the Usos don't have a whole lot of charisma. They can't cut a promo to save their ass. No. God damn, they're fun in the ring. Now then, speaking of people with no charisma can't goddamn talk, it's the Steiners.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Rick Steiner slow?
This might go down, honestly, as the worst promo.
It's easily one of the worst promos ever.
Oh, my God.
These guys can't even form complete sentences.
Rick couldn't look into anything.
He had a nice pink hat, though, right?
Basing out. Yeah, he's pink hat. Backwards pink hat. Hiding his fro. His frohawk.
No, it wasn't a frohawk. It was just an
hat. Oh, my God.
Scotty had a giant mullet. Mm-hmm. And there was just something off about him. He didn't look like Scott Steiner.
No.
Like, his face looked sunken in or something. I don't know. Either way, he could barely put together two words. It's easily the worst promo ever. I was trying to look for it, but I couldn't find it. And, you know, trying to search back through the network on your phone, whatever, fuck it. Yeah, we'll post it somewhere, maybe. Nah. It's not worth it. Just imagine the Steiners not being able to talk, and there you go.
Oh, my God.
It would set the tone for the rest of their career. Missy Hyatt, she comes out. She's the guest ring announcer.
With her saggy boobs.
Well, they didn't look too bad here.
No.
Oh, you can tell your Missy Hyatt story, though.
Huh?
You got to tell your Missy Hyatt story.
Oh, yeah. Missy Hyatt. If you ever follow her on Twitter, I don't know why I did. I don't anymore. I'm not allowed to. But she posted, it was during Raw the other night when there's something happening with someone in the crowd. They're yelling at someone in the crowd, whatever it was. And she posted a video from an incident she had back in, I could only say it was late 80s, early 90s. I didn't really catch it. And she says, to see what I'm talking about, go to section part 1 minute of 40 seconds. When you go to that section, as soon as you get a video on her, all you see is her saggy boobs and her tight dress down around her ankles. Seriously, these boobs were, I mean, obviously they're fake. She's got these big, nasty, fake boobs, and they're down on her, no shit on her stomach. I use ankles, but, you know, by her stomach. So I tweet to her from my Mike Speedsman account. We didn't do that earlier.
Cheap plug.
Yep. That, why am I looking at a video of your tits around your ankles? Needless to say, she will not let me follow her, which is okay. I mean, I follow her on my Cast of the Champions, and I'm going to hold off on that.
I told you were going to be blocked, and goddamn it, you were.
Oh, yeah. I had to check it. Worth it, though. Worth it. I wish there was a tally that you could see on your Twitter account how many people have blocked you, because I've been blocked by the best of them.
I have not been blocked by a single person.
Oh,
so, missing out. I just don't find that it's worth it, because you know what? I'm not going to invest my time into tweeting, you know, something bad to John Cena.
And it's crazy that you don't have anyone after, remember a couple years ago when we were doing the whole,
oh, yeah.
You remember that? Awesome. Yeah, oh, that was great times.
Now then, in another aside here. When we first got onto Twitter.
2012, I think it was.
Something like that. We decided that we were going to tweet different celebrities and just make up mad shit about each other. Mm-hmm. And some of it was really mean and nasty.
And we got replies.
Yeah, we got a couple replies. Like
Matt Hardy?
Yeah, I tweeted to Matt Hardy. And I was like, excuse me, Matt Hardy. You know, my friend Mike has been having a lot of substance abuse problems. And I was wondering how I can approach him. And he, like,
replied
to
him. And we felt like shit.
Oh, I felt so bad. Mm-hmm. As a joke. And not too long after that, you know,
he had his problems.
Yeah, he got busted and everything.
Mm-hmm. Still worth it, I don't care.
Oh, absolutely.
We had a bunch of other replies, too. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah,
it was fun.
Anyway, Missy Hyatt, she comes out with the guy from the B-52s. And she announces, this is the hair versus hair match. Paul Ellering, precious Paul Ellering, taking on Theodore Arlong. we got a jobber entrance for Paul Ellering. He's already there in the ring, which made zero sense to me because I don't think that he was even with the Road Warriors at this point.
The problem I had in this match is that offset. These guys didn't have any hair to begin with.
Hold that.
Hair versus hair matches should be with people with long hair and they cut their hair. These guys, I mean, they had hair, but I'm talking like
Teddy had a skullet.
Oh,
Paul Ellering, he looked like Freddie Mercury, didn't he? He looked like fucking Freddie Mercury. He looked like, and for those of you dummies that don't know who Freddie Mercury is, it's a singer of Queen, goddammit. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
what do we got? Jabber entered for Paul. Teddy, he's wearing, Teddy comes out and he's looking like Sugar Ray Leonard. He's got gloves on, he's got headgear. And honestly, he was in some great shape.
He was in good shape, yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened to him a few years later. He must have got pissed off when they made him a referee. Hold on, player. We about to make a straight-up tag team match. The best spot of this match was there was an eye rake with gloves on.
What?
An eye rake with gloves on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
It was terrible. Teddy loads up the glove. They get the 1-2-0. Tries again. Precious Paul, he blocks it. Rips the glove off. Hits a loaded glove shot of his own. Paul Ellering wins. And Teddy loses a little bit of hair. Like he had this little rat tail,
mm-hmm.
and that was all they cut off.
That was it. And he already had his bald spot.
Like I said, mm-hmm. he had a skullet. His mm-hmm. hair, imagine Paul Heyman, but with a Jerry curl.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful visual. And then they just cut off his little rat tail.
That was it?
Yeah, that was it. They left the rest of his fucking hair alone. This was the second worst haircut from a Hair versus Hair match ever, besides the Kevin Nash one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, hold on, guys. I'm gonna be in a movie.
And I need it short, but not too short.
Not too short, man.
I'm going to bleach it.
Yep. Ugh, that was terrible. Yeah. Another promo. Christ, there are too many promos on the show. Holy, man. Arn and Sid promo. Sid, he was wearing a tuxedo. He looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Very dapper.
And Ole just looks so out of place with these guys because Arn is just in the prime of his career. He looks awesome.
Yeah.
Sid, huge. Looked fucking huge. He looked awesome. And then there's old-ass Ole Anderson, you know, wearing he had suspenders on.
Yeah.
Anyway, he talks for a while. He grumbles. He intros Rick. So there he is. Nature Boy comes out. Cuts an impassioned promo on Lex Luger.
This flowing locks.
His wonderful flowing locks. Mm-hmm. Easily the best hair ever in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Double A, he follows that up with an even better promo. He is the greatest pro wrestler of all time. Top five. I'm giving him top five. But yeah, he is right up there. The most underrated and probably the best ever. Double A Arn Anderson. You don't believe that? Go fuck yourself and watch some Double A matches. Next match.
Midnight Express. Midnight Express.
Midnight Express, Sweet Stan Lane edition with James E. Cornette.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on Tom Zink and Flying Brian.
Remember, it's not Tom Zink.
Oh, it's a Z-Man.
Z-Man.
Yes. Yeah, he is so lucky that his last name wasn't something else because that would have been his fucking gimmick. You know how shitty you are if your gimmick is your last name.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Z-Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the S-Man.
You are the S-Man.
I'm the S-Man.
Oh, hold on. Then what am I? I'm also the S-Man.
S-Man. Oh.
Shit.
We're fucked.
Yep. Good thing we have more charisma than Tom Zink. Christ. He is the fucking worst. He looks like Scott Baio. I hate him.
Did they ever explain why in this match they put Jim Cornette in a cage?
No.
I think they had the cage out there just to set up what happens after.
Yeah.
That's all it really is.
That is exactly it. How they built this show was, hold on, we have a finish to something. We got something in mind, but we need to have this in place. So how do we get from A to B?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, we're going to put James E. Cornette in a cage.
Yep.
It was terrible. Poor choice of tight color.
Oh, for the Express? Oh, my Lord.
it really looked like they were not wearing pants at all.
At all. They painted a stripe across their ass, and that was it.
Yeah.
They had that little stripe going right around.
Yep. That was fantastic. There's just mullets all over the place here.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Anderson is a complete badass. He whoops up on James E. We get some sweet karate moves by Sweet Stan Lane, who honestly is, besides... Hollywood John Tatum, he has the worst karate moves I've ever seen. Ever. Like I said, not to brag or anything, but I did take a few years of martial arts.
So you said.
My moves are better than Sweet Stan Lane's. It's all arm drags by the Z-Man.
You're a self-awarded black belt? Am I now?
Why
not?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's right.
Let's see. Mitch goes to the floor. Gary Michael Capetta, he's out there on the floor on Zach Morris's cell phone. Who in the motherfuck is Gary Capetta talking to on this brick of a cell phone?
I'm guessing they didn't have microphones for him to talk to the back, and he was talking to the back through the Zach Morris microphone. That's the only thing I could think of.
I would like to think he was, but...
Who the hell is he talking to?
But for what purpose? What's he going to do? Is he going to be shooting in, calls to the referee?
Yeah, who knows?
It was hilarious. And he looked like pissed off, too, on the phone.
Flying Brian was way too facey in this match.
Oh, you're just a hater on facey Flying Brian. We got one of the bigger moves of the match. We got a slingshot backbreaker by Bobby Eaton. Then he goes up top, hits a top rope elbow, which Hardway busted open Pillman. I'm having a tough time here reading my handwriting, but whatever. Pillman got busted open Hardway. Got a 1-2-0 off an Alabama jam. So look at that. His finishing move is garbage, which means the Midnight Express is garbage here. We get a ship power slam that gets a mile tag to the Z-Man. The crowd isn't even into this. Neither are we.
lost me a long time ago.
Rocket launcher that gets a 1-2-0. We get an Eaton crushing. eating Gretchen. We get a loaded boot Enziguri by Sweet Stan. That gets a three.
Enziguri that completely fell short, and he hit him right in the small of the back. It was supposed to be like a Bad News Brown ghetto blaster, I think.
Yep.
And he totally just hit him in the back. Like, goddamn. It's like, I'm not going to try to do a move where I can't jump more than 3 feet off the air. And that's pretty much what happened there.
I told you, he had some sweet karate moves, sir. But that got to 1, 2, 3. Your winners and new United States Tag Team Champions, Midnight Express. And actually, they got a pretty big pop.
Yeah, well, the thing that surprises when this match started was the fact that there was another tag team titles, United States Tag Team Championship. They'll never have something like that again.
No,
never. Not enough tag.
Well, you know, they almost kind of had that when the brand split was a thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Like Raw and SmackDown, they had their own things. So, you know. Yeah, way too many belts here in WCW at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Gordon Soley, he's in the back.
Oh, God.
And he intros RoboCop.
RoboCop.
But the intro
of RoboCop was, what the fuck?
You never get a clear shot of him.
Yeah.
You know, it's him just kind of, walking backstage. You get a whole bunch of...
static and...
That's...
Yeah.
Yep, you get some static, some blur. You know, you get to see his feet. And then we go back into the arena. And Gary Michael Capetta, he jizzes introing Sting. Like, he did. He came while he was introing Sting.
Mm-hmm.
He was so excited to have Stinger back.
Yeah.
He was doing for the little Stingers.
Time for the Jim Cornette cage to make its real reason.
We get a great ovation for RoboCop. And Capetta even puts over RoboCop as being, the number one guy in law enforcement and in America's favorite cop.
It's like watching a shitty B-sequel of RoboCop.
It was like watching RoboCop 3. You ever watch it?
No.
Me either. But it was PG-13. That's all I got to tell you. We're together. And, he flew in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, he wants to watch that shit. But anyway, Sting, he's going around. And he's, kissing babies and slapping hands and shit.
Yep.
And then he gets tossed into the cage by the Diabolical Four Horsemen.
Yeah. So, cage. There was a reason that cage was there. They didn't come back and get it out after the match. They left it there. Did this happen to be there?
Well, why did they put him in the cage, though?
I don't know. How are you going to beat a man up who's in a cage? They plan on putting him in the cage and then taking out RoboCop?
Yeah, what were they going to do? Tip the cage over? Was that the point?
Yeah.
It was the worst thing in the world.
Not a porta potty.
Yeah, they lock him in. That would have been better.
Yeah.
I want to see that match. That's what I want to see. Sting, he gets locked in the cage by the Diabolical Horsemen. Now then, they're not going to beat him
off. Minus Flair.
Mm-hmm. But they're not going to do anything to him. They're just going to leave him in there, point and laugh.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? How is he going to get out?
Cue RoboCop.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Into music. Here comes Robo. He comes slowly walking out. He gets over to the cage. He bends the bars.
Which went a little too easy.
Well...
It's RoboCop.
In his defense, he is RoboCop.
It is RoboCop.
And then he rips the cage door off.
Mm-hmm.
The horsemen kind of self here, but not really. They bail through the crowd. My main question is, what in the fuck was the point of this? Can you seriously explain to me, what did this have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
A cheap, very cheap plug for a movie. What other reason could there be? Cheap plug. Maybe get some buy rates.
Because, it's not even that Sting was going to be wrestling tonight. He was still injured.
Mm-hmm.
Injured at the hands of the Diabolical Four Horsemen.
Yep.
I can't even form complete sentences trying to explain this.
It served no purpose for the show whatsoever.
No.
None whatsoever. More confusion than anything.
I can't even think of... Okay, let's think of... What are things that are almost on the level of this bad for crossover? Just for the fact of saying that we have crossover appeal. The only thing I can think of right off the top of my head is that stupid Planet of the Apes tie-in where Chris Jericho dressed up as a monkey and Stephanie was involved. It wasn't there monkey poo.
That was during the shitty Mark Wahlberg version of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
Is that it? Is that above or below this?
I would say the RoboCop thing is the worst, just because it. I mean, I don't know. Damn, you got me. You got me all discombobulated. You know, you throw me a question like that. I don't know.
I'm asking the hard hitting questions here.
I was originally gonna say RoboCop because it's really less believable. But then, what's more believable than walking monkeys that talk and do stuff?
I don't remember if they talked.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember.
That was wild. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Was that on pay-per-view?
No, it was on a Raw.
No.
Yeah, so it's not even worth covering.
No.
But yeah, this is definitely right up there with one of the worst things ever. Ever.
And remember, this is why we picked the show first. This was the build-up of why we decided to do that. We decided to do a show a couple weeks ago. And this was the you had to go out swing, you had to start out swinging, I guess.
Upon looking at the card, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be a good show despite this.
It's drastically getting worse.
No, I was fucking wrong, man. This is just like a soul-crushing wrestling moment. You know, RoboCop 2 coming out. And even better was after, you know, the Robo and Sting, they start to head to the back. And like Sting can't, and Robo can't move his one arm. Like, he is not moving his left arm. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
As he's walking in the back. And he's having trouble walking in this goddamn thing. It's obviously not Peter Weller. Ugh, this is just one of the worst things I have ever goddamn seen.
This was worse than cancer.
It's worse than herpes. It's worse than herpes and diarrhea at the same time.
That's pretty nasty.
That'd be a bad day. That's what I'm saying. Fucking bad day. Yeah, this is easily the worst thing ever. I can't stress that enough. Yeah, let's move along. And anyway, afterwards, we go back to Capetta. And he is just totally thrown aback as well. He fucks up.
Oh, yeah. The intro is horribly.
Yeah, it's just an abomination, everything. We go to Tony, who's with JYD. JYD, he wants the Horseman, Mean Mark, whatever. And he says that he found himself a bone. Boy. James E. Cornette, he interrupts. He runs down good old JYD, asks him where he's been. And JYD responds with,
oh, yeah, this was a great, great.
Well, where have I been? I've been at 845 DeBerry Street. You know where that is? Hold on. That's James E. Cornette's mama's house. Greatest fucking line ever.
Yep.
Ever. No one will ever throw out a line that great ever.
Nope.
Can't
touch it.
No. Because his delivery was so smooth with it, too. And Cornette takes a second. Hold on. I know where that is. That's my mama's house. Oh, fantastic. JYD, he just... The junk food dog just totally redeemed himself.
Junk food dog.
Yeah, because he's terrible here, and I've been watching some old JYD action from Mid South, and he was in such great shape, and this guy should have been super huge. He was way over down south, then he got fat. He got fat and didn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
No yawning over there.
Mm-hmm.
Good Christ. Next match, it's a corporal punishment match. Which were never really explained.
They never explained. They had straps, and they never explained what they were for.
Until they
started using them.
Yeah, and they just randomly used them. Mm-hmm. Like, but did each team have just one strap?
I think they all had them. Because at one point, I think they were all hitting each other at the same time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Just not sure I paid attention. Anyway, now that on paper, this should have been a great match. We got the Rock and Roll Express. They come out.
Oh, my God.
Sliding on a jukebox. Yeah, nothing says rock and roll.
It was like a motorized floor with a jukebox, and they're in the front. Rocking it up, I guess. I don't know how to explain that.
It wasn't even motorized. They were getting pushed.
Oh, my God.
It was like a really big cart with the Rock and Roll Express on there with a jukebox, and they're being pushed.
Mm.
So, yeah, nothing says rock and roll like a 1950s jukebox. Yeah. Mm. And they're taking on the Fabulous Freebirds.
Fantastic.
Just
hair and all.
Oh, yeah. But it's not even like the good Freebirds. I mean, you know, Michael Hayes can only do so much on his own. But they do get pyro.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they're the only ones that got pyro.
I want to say they're the only they're the only people on the show that got pyro,
yep.
Which means that they're the best. All I got to say right here is Michael Hayes rules. You can read that right there. Yeah, it's awesome because he does like 2 minutes of stalling.
Oh,
and
yeah,
and he dances. And Michael Hayes
is fantastic.
Is the best ever. You were running him down until you saw him.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Until you saw his moves, and then you went, okay. Yeah. Michael Hayes is pretty awesome.
He won me over pretty quick.
Absolutely.
I see Michael Hayes, and I didn't watch a lot of WCW in the old days. I just think of Doc Hendricks.
No, you got to go further back than that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go back to Texas. Yeah, go watch stuff with the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. It's super awesome. And Michael Hayes fucking rules.
Hmm.
I don't care what anyone says. Bob Caudle, he says, you can't look cross-eyed during this match. That had to have been a fucking shot right there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And Jim Ross, he followed it up with something, too.
That stuck out to me somewhat.
Yeah, Jim Ross said something, too, about something about vision, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I took that as a shot as well. I got a super long control spot.
In his defense, his eye didn't look that bad here. I think that just got worse as the 90s went along.
Oh,
yeah. It wasn't as bad as you see. I remember later on in his career.
Okay, what's worse? what's worse? Robert Gibson, his eyes looking two opposite ways, or Shawn Michaels with one eye?
I want to say Shawn Michaels, you see him more. And it kind of came out of nowhere. You think about young Sean, I don't remember him. I don't remember turning around trying to see who he's looking at.
No, he was.
Until later on.
No, in early Shawn Michaels, he had eyes. His eyes were separated, they were far apart on his face. And as the years went on, they became one. I would like to see photographs, you know, like a time lapse thing of Shawn Michaels throughout the years and just watch his eyes meld into one. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. Because, you know, it's... Because Shawn Michaels used to be a good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fairly good-looking guy. Robert Gibson, not so much.
No.
But back in these days, they were almost kind of... They were thought of as good-looking.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Ricky Morton with that wonderful mullet. He had a nice one, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know...
He still has the same thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was at a wrestling event down here, and... That's all the pictures. He looks exactly the same, except he looks 50 years older.
Because he is.
Mm-hmm.
Big gun on him, too, I'm sure.
I didn't see the stomach, I saw his face.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I didn't go to the show. I heard about it afterwards.
Pretend you went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a fat-ass gut.
There you go. And I guarantee you, he could still drum up some great sympathy. I don't care. That guy is one of the best tag workers ever. Huge DDT by Michael Hayes. Then he stalls a little bit. Get top rope sunset flip. Rock and Roll Express wins. Awesome match. Fuck yeah! Look at that. I
even, you put fuck yeah. I see that.
That's right. I underline.
This is where my nose tallied off, by the way.
This was an awesome match. Easily the match of the night, right? I think so.
Yeah. The straps kind of threw me off. I didn't really understand because they only used them like twice in the whole match.
But when they used them, though, the crowd got hot. They got fired up into it. Even Jimmy Garvin wasn't even too bad in this. And I fucking hate Jimmy Garvin. But, you know, you...
But he does have chest hair.
Oh, he has.
That's always a winning...
He has a ton of chest hair. And just a great head of hair, but, you know, he's fucking terrible. Ricky Morton does what he does best, which is just drum up sympathy. He did it very well. I really like this match. I would actually go back and watch that match again. Actually woke up the crowd here, because this crowd is kind of shit.
Yeah.
Guess what? We have another fucking interview segment. We go to the world's strongest man, Doug Furness. Exactly. Yeah. Do you remember who he would be later?
Yeah, Furness on the phone, right?
Yeah, he'd be Doug Furness later.
Yeah, Doug Furness, yeah.
Yeah, the strongest man in the world. Are you fucking kidding me? Christ. This is from the same people that had Bill Kazmaier, who was the legit world's strongest man. Couldn't wrestle either. And then, you know, Furness kind of gets interrupted by Sting, who calls out Flair, minus RoboCop.
So which, if you think about it, really doesn't make any sense.
No, it's...
If they're going to use the RoboCop thing earlier, well, I don't want to get... We'll go to that later on.
I want them to be tag team partners.
Yes.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
Yeah.
Now that if this pay-per-view would have been Sting and RoboCop taking on two members of the Horsemen... That'd be awesome.
One of them throwing a punch and it's going, you're hearing the big dong and then...
Oh, you heard the big dong?
The big dong.
Now that
in
you,
my pants.
Now
no,
that,
I'm just kidding.
You have to know that Arn Anderson would have sold that fucking beautifully.
Yes, yeah.
He would have sold that like a goddamn champ. Ole wouldn't have done anything of these.
And he would have come out for weeks with his hand wrapped like in a cast.
Damn right he would
have. Yep.
I would have loved to see him like put a spine buster on a big fucking metal.
You wouldn't know Soldier. It doesn't matter.
Think so?
No, RoboCop. Yeah. You wouldn't know Soldier.
Who would sell more, RoboCop or Cena?
Ooh.
Tag team title, man.
Why are you guys answering me these hard questions?
That's right. As soon as you know the answer, I change the question. Doom with Teddy Long. Minus is Rat Tail taking on the Steiners. Mm-hmm. Mullet of the Night goes to Scotty. But you know what? It wasn't a runaway, though, because there was a shit ton of competition here.
There was a lot of mullets.
There was a ton of them. Ricky Morton
Randy
came in
second. Anderson.
Randy Anderson, he had the same hairdo for like 20
yes,
years.
Yes, he did. He did. I thought that he looked exactly the same there as when I started watching WCW like 95. 96.
That's when you started watching?
96.
Really?
No, I would watch every the Saturday Night Show every now and then.
Really?
Yeah.
That was like my company of choice.
Yeah.
That's why I have such love for WCW. I mean, you know, WWF, they got my foot in the door. But as soon as I saw NWA, that was it. I was hooked. I remember seeing Ric Flair and the Road Warriors and the Steiners and just going, oh my God, this is what I want to watch. I don't want to see, you know, Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. Fuck those guys. These guys are real athletes. That's what I want to see. Mullet of the Night goes to Scotty. Gets some huge heel heat by Doom. You had fans threatening to beat up Hacksaw Butch Reed. That was fantastic. Again, there is zero wellness policy in WCW. Rick Steiner, he has the same hairdo as Xavier Woods.
It's kind of funny to think about it.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
I'm asking.
I'll give it to myself. That's going to come off really wrong when I was going to say it. I'll give it to myself.
Rick can't run the ropes. We're just going to move on. We get the worst pile driver ever. Go ahead and explain what the pile driver was.
Oh, my God. So he picked up like he was going to do a pile driver, and he kind of turned into a modified tombstone. Like backwards, it was a pile driver, and then top of that, his head was a good 2 feet off the ground, so he couldn't even.
He drops right to his knees.
Yep, right to his knees. It just looked like shit.
Owen Hart would say that there was a shit pile driver.
Yep.
We're just dropping in. Mm-hmm. we get to see the best Frankensteiner ever though by Scott. I mean, he whips off this Frankensteiner like his hands didn't even touch the ground.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Fucking fantastic. Rey Mysterio in his prime couldn't have done one this good.
Mm-hmm.
Rick with some clothes on.
Yeah, the reason we got to bring that up, we got to go back to the promo. I thought about it after we went past that.
Yeah, I forgot.
Part of the promo. It was Scott Steiner's cutting his promo, and he says, I'm going to rip off some belly suplexes, and then Rick's going to hit him with a clothesline. So but the way that promo kind of came off to us, that's why it was part of shit, it was like, basically Rick's going to do a clothesline and then call it a night and go home. So when Rick hit his clothesline, we both looked at each other and said, nope, looks like the match is over with.
Yep, that was it.
Yep.
That was about the only thing I need to do. We get a shenanigan finish, as always.
Mm-hmm.
New tag team champions, Doom.
Doom.
This was a garbage match,
yes.
Which really should have been better than what it was, considering all the talent in the ring. And not too much longer after this, I mean, Doom would go their separate ways, and Ron Simmons would become a face and eventually a world champion. So.
Oh, yeah. He looks exactly the same now as he did then, except for he's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, a little smaller, a little older, mm-hmm. Bigger gut now.
Either way,
he looks better than he did as Farouk. Damn.
That wasn't
bad.
Damn. Not good.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was really good. Look at that. You finally got an impression.
All right.
Damn. All right. Main event time. Here we go. WCW World Title is on the line. U.S. Champion Lex Luger.
Oh, Lex Luger. Yeah, I thought Ric Flair, nice flowing locks. How come Luger with his beautiful flowing locks?
He's doing his best Flair impression here.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luger freshly kicked out of the Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on the Nature Boy, your world champion, accompanied by a woman.
Oh, pre-boob job. We got to remember that.
Pre-boob job, pre-Benoit.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Obviously.
Uh-huh.
Because she's still alive here.
What do you say here?
Stay with her. Nancy. Psst. I know this is a different show, but this is the only way I can get a hold of you. Run away.
Stay away
from this Canadian guy called Benoit. I know he has a way with the ladies, but stay with Sullivan. Stay with Sullivan. I know you may not think
great idea, but at least he won't kill you.
So weird. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Damn Chavo.
Oh, Christ, fucking Chavo.
You know what I want to do? I want to make a wrestling Back to the Future. It has to feature, and the point is that someone, I don't know, who's kind of like a geeky guy in wrestling. Think of someone. But either way, they have to go back in time and warn woman about Benoit. And Jack Swagger, though, he's in the past, and he's Biff.
Biff, yep.
And he tries to stop him. That sounds pretty fantastic.
Yeah. That would be a great movie. You should write that movie and sell it to Hollywood.
Fucking right.
You would make millions.
I would. Who's going to be Marty McFly, though? I can't think of anyone. Mm. Like, Daniel Bryan? Maybe.
Hmm.
He would have to shave.
Yeah. You can do without it.
I do not want a hippie-looking Marty McFly. God damn it. Who's going to play Doc? We need a good Doc. I bet you Chris.
That could be Flair right now.
Yes.
He's all crazy now. He got JR fired.
Did he?
No.
I didn't hear about that.
You know, that's why, remember, there was a video game launch last year.
Yeah.
Punk was there.
Oh, well, guess what, JR? You don't deserve a job, you bitter old bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep doing your podcast. Guess what? Everyone has one. We have two.
Three. When you guests appear on each other, others, it kind
of... Oh, yeah, that's the crossover. Man, we're stalling. Let's get to this fucking match.
Don't forget this is the worst looking steel cage in the history of wrestling.
This is like a thunder cage, but it's like a really weak ass thunder cage. Mm-hmm. It looked like the cage from the Duran Duran video, Wild Boys. You remember that?
No.
Really?
I'm going to have to go back now. Look at that.
Go ahead and look it up, and you will see that I'm right. Go ahead and look it up right now. You will see exactly how fucking right I am. Except for, you know, there's not like a bunch of like half-naked young boys getting pulled around on like stilts and shit. But yeah, that's what we got. We got early in the match.
Duran Duran, Wild Boys?
Yes.
I'm looking this up.
Yep.
We might have to play it on the air now.
Go ahead. We get a foreign object confiscation because woman, that crafty woman that she is, that devilish woman, she's devilish, I tell you. She had like a lead pipe hiding in her glove, so that was pretty fantastic. I predict that Ric Flair will make Lex look great, which he did.
Yep.
Because you know what? Because you know who Lex Luger is? He is the 1990 version of Roman Reigns. It's not a popular opinion, but it's mine, and guess what? I am right. Prove me wrong. We get a huge blade job by Rick.
It was obvious, too, he was doing it.
He did it twice.
Yeah.
And
you could see it.
That second time, he just laid there outside the ring.
Yeah.
And just starts running his hand over that, running his head over that blade there in his forearm. In this cage, though. Yeah. There was like a space between the cage and the ring, so it was almost like a Hell in the Cell, but you know, not with the, but you know, there wasn't like a lid on it.
Mm-hmm. So. And for some reason, Ric Flair decided to try to keep escaping through the cage that he could not.
He keeps trying to go up this cage, which made zero fucking sense. Which made zero sense. Did you see the Wild Boys?
Not yet. It's on right here.
Go ahead and take a look. We'll watch along with you. This should have been our thing. It really should have been. Now, full disclosure, I used to be a big Duran Duran fan.
When does this cage make an appearance?
Okay, it does. Because it's supposed to kind of look like a Mad Max.
It does.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yay! Yay! See, there's a method to my madness. I was going to say, and if that wasn't right, I was going to say it was Nine Inch Nails Wish. Which is like a better song. But anyway, huge blade job by Rick. He's got blood all over the place and his wonderful flowing locks. And that's why he kept his hair so white, is because when he did Blade, it looked
fantastic.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was
and he would shake his head back and forth, so it would go all over and every inch of his beautiful blonde hair.
But by the end of the night, his hair looked as red as Undertaker's.
Earlier in the night?
Yeah, Mean Mark.
Mean Mark.
Oh, we got some great knee work there by Flair because Luger, he had a pre-existing knee injury. So that was one of the big stories of this match because the Horseman, you know, they took out his knee. Horseman out. here it is, end of the match. Horseman, they come out, and they're just hanging around the ring. You know, they're just hanging out. You
can't get in there because the cage is down.
Yep, not doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Minding their own business, rooting on their buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sting comes out, has to stick his nose in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, you know.
He's got assistance.
We got a 3-on-1 beatdown. So who's going to save the day? I'm sure I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, man, RoboCop, he's going back out. No.
That would have been better.
Even better, we get the aforementioned 7'7" El Gigante.
Wearing what we cannot understand. I don't know what the hell he's wearing.
He's an Aztec warrior.
Yeah.
He had a nice headband.
He looked like a man of war.
He was a Portuguese.
Remember, what was it?
Aldo Montoya?
No, not Aldo Montoya. I'm thinking of when Conan was in WWF.
Max Moon?
Max Moon. There it was, yeah. He's wearing Max Moon's outfit. That's what I can think of.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And this would start right here. The Jim Ross could never say El Gigante's name right. It's not El Gigante. That would mean elegant. El Gigante means the giant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, El Gigante, as JR would say, because I'm fucking half-mouth-speaking dummy. They go out, he makes a save, but Ole, he ends up sneaking away, and he gets the controls to the cage.
Yeah, they never show him using it, he just has it.
Yep, we got to take JR's word for it. So, he's got the controls of the cage. Barry Windham, he sneaks in.
Out of nowhere, he wasn't on the show the whole time. Were they on the show?
Nope. He sneaks in, sneaks under the cage, whoops up on Luger, DQ.
DQ in a cage match.
Yeah.
DQ in a cage match. I will say it again, just so everybody understands what we're saying here. The worst cage in the world has a disqualification ending in it. So if this pay-per-view couldn't get any more shit-tacular, we have a DQ in a cage match.
Yep.
I think that this kind of shows you the night that we had here. Well, they had at that time.
This is the night of the worst finishes I've ever seen.
Yes.
Like, was there a clean finish the entire night? The Taker match. That was it.
Yeah.
That was like the only clean finish.
Yes, it was.
Terrible. Anyway, Arn comes in. He slides in. It's a 3-on-1 beatdown. He drops the best DDT ever. We get a classic Flair flip out afterwards, which was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They do an interview there with Flair
after somehow someone got a hold of the cage and rose the cage, so Sting and Sting got in there. El Gigante walking reminds me of the Great Khali. He just looks like
he could move better than that.
He didn't look like it. He was walking like I thought it was Great Khali for a minute.
No, he was a former basketball player.
I know that.
He was like drafted by the Hawks. He could move.
He didn't look like he could there. Maybe it was a Max Moon's attire slowing him down.
You were watching a different match than me, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my monitor must have been working better. But we get classic Flair flip out. He starts jawing with the fans. He rips somebody's sign and points.
Oh, that was great!
Adam
grabbed the kid's sign. Now that was fantastic.
It was classic Flair flip out. And thank God, this match was over.
Yeah.
This entire night was over. Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give this show?
I can't get. Would I call it the worst show ever? Probably. I would say solid 2.
Yeah,
because there was a decent there were some couple good things going on. You can't say a total shit sandwich, but yeah, I'll give it a 2. I say 1 is just 2. That's a cheap way out, I think.
We gotta save the 1.
Yeah, there are other ones out there. This is the first one that just sprung to our head. So
yeah, there's worse shows out there, and goddamn it, we're gonna find it.
Yes,
I mean, you know, we're not going to go out of our way to go, you know, to some stupid local indie show. No, we're talking, you know, big company, big paper show. You know, none of this, like, Legends Reunion junk. Mm. No, you know, we want to see some of the best companies in the world, their shittiest show.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of the point of this.
Yeah,
that
is.
And then we're going to dabble into other things, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling related.
So everyone knows this is just the first of what we will be many. This week and next week's show will be cast together because Paul is on vacation down here in North Carolina. Or in the South. And we'll be doing another show next week together. And then after this, it's probably going to be a lot of via Skype-y or...
Something.
Yeah, the iPhone thing, whatever the hell that thing's called.
Hold on, I didn't give my grade for the show.
Oh, yet. Yeah, go ahead.
I give it a 2.
Hey. Yeah, high five.
I give it a number 2.
Nothing, buddies.
I give it a number 2.
Oh, wait, no. It's a 2 on the what?
I give it a number 2 because it was shit. It was
a 2 on the slam-o-meter. That's from now on. That's how we grade it.
Kaboom.
Every show is going to be graded on a slam-o-meter. We got to write that down.
Yeah, write that down.
Slam-o-meter. We got to find a picture of that.
I give it a 2. Just based on the Freebirds and Rock and Roll Express. That was it. Other than that, this match was balls.
And Rick Steiner's clothesline.
And Rick Steiner's one clothesline. Look at that. Scotty said that they were going to do 2 things. Throw some suplexes, do a clothesline.
And that was it.
God damn it, they lived up to that.
It's like they just learned to do a promo before this started.
And it's not like they were new in the business.
No.
You know, they had already been part of the Varsity Club. Mm. You know, at least Rick was. I remember Scott was, but I definitely know Rick was.
This is Scott way before his wellness policy kicked in.
He was super huge,
he was
though.
Yeah, he was big. But
he was a gigantic man.
1997 big.
No, not 2002 taking on Triple H big.
Mm-hmm.
Do we got to watch like some of those matches?
There's some back there were shit.
We will do, you know what? That's what we should do. We should watch those 2 matches.
Oh, the Triple H Steiner matches?
Yeah, because I just watched them.
Everybody phones them in?
Yeah, I just watched those matches. So they are fresh.
Yeah, we can do not just pay-per-views on this, but we could pick out just certain matches.
Yeah.
Just critique the hell out of them. I'll take better notes because even shit matches, you know, will probably get you better.
You know what, though? There's 2 things that are always going to stand out to you. A really great match or a really shitty one. You know, if you're in that middle ground, no one remembers you. You know, you either got to be great or you got to be shit. And this is where we're going to cover the shit.
So you're saying, what was the best match of the night?
Easily Rock and Roll Express and Freebirds.
And what was the worst?
The worst,
I'm going to tell you along with
Paul. But you know, that's kind of a given, though, the hair versus hair match. I'm going to go with the SST.
Yeah, and in Mike Rotundo. Yeah, I was going to look at that one, too.
Because, you know, you had 4 workers in there, and it was 15 minutes of fucking rest holds in a 17-minute match. Easily one of the boringest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
If you want to see a boring wrestling match, go look at that.
Jeez, it was horrible.
Fucking terrible.
Worst promo of the night, obviously, I think it was the Steiners because of Rick's
easily
clothesline.
Steiners, yep. Followed closely by Doug Furness.
Yeah.
By just simply saying, yes, I'm the world's strongest man.
Mm-hmm. Best promo of the night wasn't even the best promo. It was the best liner.
Best liner of the night goes to JYD.
JYD.
Yep.
That's my mama's house.
He's hanging out with James E. Cornette's mama's house. He's fucking James E.'s fat-ass mama.
You know, take a second here to think about. This was early, 1990.
Yep.
Some of the guys that were in this pay-per-view and what they became out to. The first one that stands out, who had the better career, obviously, was Mean Mark. We later became The Undertaker.
Yep.
Fantastic. Mick Foley, as much as he, besides the bump he took, he came
a long way.
Yes.
Because right here, the only thing that he could do at this point in his career was bump.
Yep.
And you could see where that got him. That got him, you know, a career for the next, till now. You know, not in the ring, but, you know, as a well-known wrestling personality.
And don't forget Kevin Sullivan. I mentioned this, that if you knew how to please a woman, Nancy would still be alive. Oh, that's bad, isn't it? That really sounded bad.
I'm speechless.
But it's true, damn it.
That's terrible.
You killed Nancy.
It's your fault, Kevin.
That's right.
Yep. Wow. Oh, hold on. That's a better idea. Better idea. We're in this Back to the Future. we're going to have Kevin Sullivan go back. That he has to keep Nancy with him. See, doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah.
I like it.
Do not let them have an angle where they get to hang out together.
Yeah. You know what? Just don't sign Benoit.
Yeah.
Don't sign Benoit. Let him stay in New Japan. And then eventually he's going to get found by the WWE. And then everyone's happier. He's in the Hall of Fame at this point. He's a multiple-time world champ. Who knows? Maybe Owen Hart doesn't die.
Yeah. Because no, that was a chain reaction.
Yeah, I think something's related there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. We're on to something.
That's right.
Yeah, we need a DeLorean. I think we've talked about this abomination about as much as we can.
Yeah.
Thank
you, RoboCop.
There's one thing that we've learned. Is that...
Some things don't get better with age.
Some things don't get better with age. Don't judge a card by its talent. That's what I've learned.
Yep, because I reminded him that he said that the entire time we were watching this.
Yep.
And I sure, yeah, it was...
I regretted it. I thought it was going to be good. I was fucking wrong. Yep. It was easily one of the worst shows I've ever seen. Just the finishes were bad. Even the matches weren't even that great. It was terrible. I want my couple hours back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, no one ever watch this show.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
We just saved you time.
Yep.
And I hope our Winnie banner made it more. Our this listening hour and what are we at? Hour and 10 minute show has more entertainment you're gonna get than watching 5 minutes of that shit show pay per view. So.
You can, and it's not even like funny on an ironic level, outside of the JYD line.
Yeah.
It's just sad. It really is. This is like the doldrums of WCW.
Mm.
It is terrible. And I'm a worse wrestling fan for it. But yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So, before we go, don't forget, listen to the NitroCast.
Yay.
Yep. He's probably it's going to be a couple weeks before his new show come out.
Yeah.
On vacation.
Yeah.
Yep. The only show he's going to be on is going to be this one. And tomorrow night we're going to... Yeah, it's been a while since I've done a show. I ain't going to lie, for Cast of the Champions. Been kind of, I don't want to say lazy, but I've been so busy at work and everything. So, yeah, there's my excuse.
You can say lazy.
Yep. I've been lazy. And I'll talk tomorrow night. We're going to cover a whole bunch of stuff. Talk about, I went to SmackDown last week. Talk a little bit about stuff I saw there and have my special guest with me. So,
I didn't watch SmackDown, so I'm going to let him tell me the experience of it like I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be riveting.
Yeah.
And then what are we going to do? We're going to talk about like the state of the WWE.
State of the WWE.
Yeah. Are we going to go through like superstar by superstar?
Yeah, we'll just see what we can do.
Okay.
We'll wing it.
Well.
We'll have a little bit more
stuff. I don't want to wing it. I take notes, goddammit, as you obviously see.
Yes, you do. Yep.
I'm a thorough person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
So, yeah, you can follow me at Mike Spiesman or at Cast of Champion.
Could you spell that for the folks?
Yeah. CASTOF CHAMPION.
Yeah, I'm for you. Why do stump? That's Twitter. NitroCast, go do that. There's a Facebook thing for something.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I was thinking I was doing my show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I never update. Yeah, NitroCast will be back eventually. Whenever I get back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on a little bit of a sabbatical. But you know what? You can find us on Twitter. And yeah, we'll always talk wrestling with you.
Yep.
And until tomorrow on the Cast of the Champions, this has been the greatest night in the history of podcasting.
But you stay classy.
Yeah. So, yeah. This has been Wrestling Buddies.
Wrestling Buddies.